Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Baba Basra Tzadik Tes. We are holding on Tzadik Ches Amud Beis, four lines off the bottom of the Amud. We begin with a story. Rabbi Chanina. Nafak Lekur Yosei went out to pay a visit to the suburbs, to the fields, to the villages. Ramulei Kroi Adodi. So the locals asked him, they took the opportunity, they asked him an apparent contradiction between two pesukim describing the Beis HaMikdash structure. Ksiv, we have one pasuk in Melachim describing the Beis HaMikdash as follows. V'habayis ha-shabona shaloymoy, ha-melach shaloymoy la-shem, the bayis, which in this case includes the heichal with the kodesh ha-kodashim behind it as one structure. How large was it? Shishim ama arkay, 60 ama long, ve'esrim rachboy, u'shaloyshim ama kemosay, 60 long, 20 wide, and 30 high. We have another pasuk in Malachim as well, describing the height as merely 20 amma. Ufnei ha-dvir, so the space behind the dvir, which was that dividing wall between the Heichal and Kodesh HaKadoshim, how big was that space? Esrim amma oirich. Esrim amma oirich, 20 by 20 amma. And the height was merely 20, not 30. Ve'esrim amma kemosei. How do we square these two psukim? Amalahi responded. Kika chashev. In reality, the total height, the total ceiling height was 30 amma. The second pasuk, however, only describes the space between misfas keruvim ulamala, from the keruvim, which were these sculptures, in the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu had keruvim carved out of the kapiras, out of the golden cover of the Arin. So likewise, Shlomo HaMelech built these ground situated, these sculptures which were situated on the actual ground, larger keruvim, which had young child appearance to them, and they had wings, so these were lofty features of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the space between Misfas Keruvim Ulamala, from the top of the keruvim up until the ceiling, you see, they were 10 amma high, so the space between them and the ceiling was merely 20. Thus, the smaller number of 20 in the second pasuk. Now, what's the purpose? What's the goal? Why does, in fact, the pasuk refer to that space only, rather than just the total ceiling height of 30 amma? What's the point? Hakamashmalon, the point is very significant. Lamata kilamala. The pasuk here is teaching us a profound lesson. You see, the space beneath the keruvim, from the keruvim to the floor, kilamala. So, the lamata, meaning the space where the keruvim was situated, kilamala has the same. Is described the same as the space above the keruvim. What does that mean? Mala mala, just as above the keruvim, from the tip of the keruvim up until the ceiling, was just plain empty space, right? Ein meshamesh klum. It wasn't serving anything. It was totally void space. Af lamata ein meshamesh klum. Likewise, the bottom 10 amos were empty. Empty? What do you mean? They were full of keruvim. Rashbam says here, the Gemara is teaching us a profound lesson that the keruvim did not take, the body of the keruvim did not take up any space. It was a total miracle. It was a supernatural existence. That's the message. Relate to us in this pasuk. That it's as though there was nothing there. The goof of the keruvim were not taking up any space. The Rashbam points out that it's dafka the goof, as the Gemara will tell us later, but the wings themselves did, but the main point here is the goof. And it says, although the wings did take up space, the point of the pasuk is to say that, just like if you go above the Kerubim, you could measure, you know, go straight uninterrupted from wall to wall. Likewise, beneath the wings as well, you can go straight from wall to wall, from side to side, of the, you know, from one side of the room to the other side, without bumping into anything, because the actual body of the Kerubim, you know, it's as though they didn't exist. They didn't take up any space. So what it means to say is that if you would measure the space from wall to wall, even though there were the bodies there, but they didn't take up any space. They did not, you know, reduce the actual room space. So it was a miraculous, you know, existence. This is a writer, Rabbi Levi, who likewise taught us the same lesson. The following lesson, we have this as a lesson, relate to us by our forefathers. The Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech, did not take up any space. They were there, but they were beyond the realm of space. Tanya Namihach, we find the same in the Brisa. Aron Shasa Moshe Yeshloi Revach Esra Amas Tuchel Ruach V'Geruach. Even when Moshe Rabbeinu's Aron was placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, it still had 10 Amma on each side to the wall, even though the entire area was, right, we're speaking about the Aron of Moshe that was placed in the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech, which was 20 by 20. If you would measure from the side of the Aron to the wall, and likewise on the other side from the Aron to the wall, you'd still come up with a total of 20 Amma. Apparently the Aron did not reduce anything. Amar Avnoi Amar Shmuel, Kruvim, likewise the Kruvim, these fixtures of Shlomo HaMelech Benesu Yoimdin, they existed miraculously. They didn't. The guf of the Kruvim did not take up any space, as we mentioned. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'chomish Amois Knaf HaKruva Achas, V'chomish Amois Knaf HaKruva Shenis. So each one of these Kerubim, which are depicted in this sort of diagram lower down on the page in the Rashbam, like these two birds, so they had these wings. The wingspan of, the span of each wing was 5 Amma. V'chamesh Amis Knafa Kruva Achas, V'chamesh Amis was also Knafa Kruva Shenis, Esra Amis Mekseis Knafa Vat Kseis Knafa, 10 Amma from side to side. And as the Rashbam points out, we have the Pesukim telling us that when we set up the Kruvim in the room, they went from wall to wall. So the edge of this Kruv would sort of touch the wall on this side, and the far edge of the other Kruv would touch the far wall on the other side. Question, how could that be? If the wingspan itself was 10 Amma per Kruv and the whole room was only 20, what happened to the body of the Kruv itself? What if that's it? Kufayu, the body of the Kruv, where were they? Elishma, we know we have a ride from it. B'nei Suy Oindin, it was a totally miraculous experience which was not discernible in physical dimensions. Maskeflor Abai. So Abai had a kasha. How could you prove anything from this? From these psukim, that in fact the bodies were not discernible. You're assuming there wasn't space. Maybe there was enough space, because the wingspan was 10 Amma per Kruv. Who says the body was an addition? Maybe the body was sort of perched below. The wings were perched above the actual body. Like chicken wings, right? Where the body sort of protrudes beneath the wings. So the wings totally, take up the whole area, and the body's below it. And there's some sort of, overlap. So, yeah, it's perfectly fine how it can fit into the, we understand perfectly how it fit into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because each Kruv in total was only 10 Amma. Mask of the Rava, we have another Kash. How to fit them in? You know what? V'dum v'zek shleik neged zeh habukaimi. Maybe the Kruvim were sort of staggered. It wasn't like they were standing side by side perfectly. Maybe there was sort of a little overlap. So that would account for the missing space. Maybe they were situated in a slight diagonal, as we have in the picture here in the Rashbam, which again would conserve some space. Perhaps the walls would widen as we go up, so it leaves some more room. So it's really more than 20 amma, which allows for that kruv to be there. Another question. Maybe, although the actual kruv, the wings plus the body, accounted for more than 10 ammas, but maybe, you know, at the edge of the wings, it would sort of bend down, like somebody's, holding his hand sort of an angle downward. So maybe part of it was bent down to make some space. Mask of the Rav Asher. Rashi had another kasha. Perhaps, yeah, the wings were exactly, lined up against each other, but maybe the there was some sort of overlap between the two kruvim. Or maybe the wings were overlapping each other. Yeah, so it's either the two kruvim were sort of overlapping a little bit, or the wing. In any case, they made room for the gufim. Okay, so you can't really prove anything from this, the source that the gufim were there miraculously. But in fact, we had a Kabbalah, Meser Sabsen Yadenu, that in fact it was true. Now, here comes another question. How were they positioned? They had faces, right? Which way were they facing? Ketzat Havu Einoimden. So we have two psukim, because by Moshe Rabbeinu it says Upneim ish al achiv, they were facing each other. Then by the Kruvim of Shlomo it says Upneim la bayis, they faced the Heichal instead of facing each other. So which way was it? Keitan hin emdin. We have a machlokes between Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Elazar. Chadam upneim ish al achiv, they faced each other. The Chadam upneim la bayis, they faced the Heichal. Ask the Gemara, how does each opinion reconcile the other pasuk? Ulamanda Amar Pnei Mishal Achiv Hoksiv Pnei Mishal Bayis. What about that pasuk? Lakasha, the answer is like this: depends on the level of of relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. Kam Bezman Shiyisrael Oisim Nusen Shal Mokim. When were they facing each other? That was meant to reflect our warm and close relationship. Marriage, so to speak, because the Ish el Achiv was like a man and a woman. So when Klal Yisrael was close to Hashem, when we fulfilled the Ratzon of Hashem, we did what we were supposed to do, so then Hashem faced us, so to speak. So we were facing each other. Kan, but the other pasuk, where they weren't facing each other, is Bizman She'en Yisrael Oisin Return Shel Mok. Ask the Gemara, L'madamar Pneim L'bayis. Let's go to the other opinion. So the Kruvim typically did not face each other. They faced the bayis. So what about the other pasuk? In the case that they're facing each other, answer is, it was sort of half and half. The mitzadat zduli, sort of half sideways. The sanyas, we have a braisa. Unklus, the famous Unklus Hager, Omar, he explained. Kruvim, what look did the Kruvim have? Maset tzatzuyim hein. We have a pasuk. In Dibra Yavim, maset tzatzuyim. Tzatzuyim, they were formed like, to look like babies or little children. And likewise, the comparison to the young child is because a young child faces sort of sideways when he walks, backs away from his teacher, from his Rebbe. He doesn't turn his back to his Rebbe, he walks sort of sideways, a bit this way, a bit that way. So here as well, umitzudadim pneim katamit. Likewise, the Kruvim would sort of face each other halfway, just like a Talmud, Hanifta Mirabi, walking away from his Rebbe. Says the Mishnah, Mi sheyesh lo boir lefnim mi beisei shel chaveri. Somehow a person owns a boir, a water, well, within another person's property. So let's say they were partners or split up this way or whatever. How does he access his facility? Well, during business hours. Nichnas b'shoa asher derech bnei adam. Nichnas, and you go in there when people typically go to get their water. Don't come, you know, 1 in the morning, right? V'yotze b'shoa asher derech bnei adam. Yotze, and you leave likewise. You come in and out at the right times. Because after all, you're going through the other person's property. V'einei machnas b'hemtai. You have no right to bring your animal in there to give it a drink. Rather, fill yourself up and bring it outside. Finally, in terms of security, it had two locks. The owner made a lock on his pit. Likewise, the homeowner had a right to double lock. Ask the Gemara Pesachas Lehecha. Firstly, where's the lock being placed? What are you trying to secure? Omer b'yichin, shneim lebar, they're both on the pit. So you make a double lock. One for the bar owner, one for the homeowner. What's the purpose of having two locks? Bishlame bala bar, I understand why the bar fellow wants a lock to protect his water. Boilish tamuri maya di bar, he doesn't want the balabayas, you know, siphoning off his water. Ela balabayas, lamali, why does the balabayas make a lock? Oh, to make sure that you only come in at a pre-appointed time. I don't want you roaming through my house. It's inappropriate because of his wife. So therefore, he installs another lock to ensure that you have no reason to come by. You have no alibi to show up at off times. It says the Mishnah, a similar case where he has a vegetable garden behind another person's garden, which requires him to access the outer garden to get inside. Once again, you got to be reasonable. Nichnas b'shoa shederech bnei adam nichnasim. V'yotze b'shoa shederech bnei adam yotzim. You're going out at reasonable times. V'eino machas l'techat ha-garden. You have no right to bring in your, you know, customers through the garden because it's just meant for your personal access. Don't do business through the other person's property. V'lo yikanas m'techa l'sech sadeh acheres. And certainly you shouldn't be using that access route as a through path to get to another property. It's meant for your garden only. And technically, the pathway belongs to the property owner on the outside, right? The outer fellow who has a right to plant the access path. I give you access, but technically it belongs to me, so I can plant it up. So this is speaking where, again, they were partners or whatever who, you know, divided up their assets, and they agreed, the chitzain, the fellow on the outside, agreed to allow the pnimi access, right? But since it's going right through his field, you have to be sensible and reasonable. However, let's say they decide to allot him an access route, a path on the side of the outside property. So it's not really traversing through the property, but rather on the side. Midash name, they both agreed upon that arrangement. So in this case, it allows for more usages. So the pnimi can use it for more than the original, than the previous case. Because since it's on the side, we assume that, you know, he meant to give it to him generously. Rosh Ram says, Mistama machala is kol aderech legarme, it should be perfectly his. You know, I'm not going to, you know, put any plants there and get in your way. So he has that advantage. He has a clear pathway all the time. Nichnas, once again, he has to be reasonable and sensitive to the other property owner, just go in and out during the, you know, reasonable time, during business hours. Nichnas b'shoa shel roi. Sorry. In this case, he could even come at any time because it's his personal, you know, path. Nichnas b'shoa shel roitze, v'yotzei b'shoa shel roitze. He can go in and out at will. And as well, omachnas teichat hagar, he can bring his merchants through that pathway. But there's one restriction. V'lo yikanes miteicha. He still cannot use it as a walkthrough to get to another property. It was meant for your property, for that particular purpose, and that's what we had in mind. Don't use it as a, you know. And finally, both Reuben and Shimon cannot plant up the area because, as we said, since it was menatzad, legamra yichdua lehiluch gereda, says Rashbam, it was totally designated for an access path. Amar Vida Mashmol. Amar Beis HaShalochan Ani Moichalach. A fellow has this Beis HaShalochan, this field that needs to be manually watered. And his neighbor perhaps lives near the river, so he Shimon, the fellow with the Beis HaShalachan, purchased the rights to have a canal, irrigation ditch, come through Reuven's property from the river to the landlocked property inside. Okay, so Reuven is the outer fellow who sold Shimon, the inside, the interior fellow, the rights to build an Amas Hamayim through Reuven's property. Amma Beis HaShalochan HaMerechaloch. I offered you an Amma Beis HaShalochan. How big? What are the expected dimensions? Noisimli Beis Amos L'Toicha. Typically, this type of canal is meant to be 2 Amma wide. V'Amma Mikan V'Amma Mikan L'Gapel. In addition to an Amma on each side for structural purposes, right? As sort of ridges to keep the structure intact. In which case, Reuven cannot, you know, build on that. You know, even on the ridges on the side, he can't build. It's meant to be. It's reserved for the Amas Hamayim to preserve the actual structure. So therefore, he shouldn't be tinkering with that property. What about Amma Beis Hakilon and Nemecher Lach? I'm selling an Amma as a Beis Hakilon, some sort of mini ditch, mini canal, meant for, you know, feeding animals or whatever. It's a small size canal. Like Amma Achas L'Secha. He provides him an Amma for the actual canal, v'achatzi Amma Mikan, v'achatzi Amma Mikan L'Gapeh, and plus a half Amma of dry land on either side of the ditch. Voice in L'Gapeh means Oiram. Here comes a question. Who has the right to plant on those side strips of land? You can't build on it lest you collapse it, but, you know, a little planting, perhaps it's okay. Who can plant on it? Rabbi Damar Shmuel Balasodas Oiram, Reuven, who owns the property, plants on it. If you need it, fine, but, you know, don't leave it empty. I can, you know, can still use that. I didn't mean to give it away completely. As long as I don't build on it or destroy it, it's going to preserve the Amas Hamayim structure. Just a couple of plants won't hurt you, and I reserve that right. Rav Nachman Shmuel Balasoda Noitam. He says you can't plant it with, you know, vegetables or plants. You can plant a tree there because the, you know, the tree roots go down very deep and will not interfere with the Amas Hamayim, which is near the surface. Manda Amar Zoram, the one who allows him to plant, Kolshkei Noitim, certainly you can plant trees because a tree goes deeper and is less likely to interfere with the Amas Hamayim, which is closer up to the surface. However, Manda Amar Noitim, the Shita, which says planting trees is okay, Aval Zoram Lai, but he can't just put little vegetables or plants because those are shallow and their roots will have a detrimental effect on the Amas Hamayim. It's going to soften and weaken and loosen up the walls and destroy his structure. Chalchuli machalchuli. It's going to, you know, dig through the area and loosen up the earth close to the surface. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Amas Hamayim Shekol Agapeh. So Shimon, who owns the canal, suddenly he sees the walls coming apart. Metak Mamayis Sada. He can reach out and take some dirt from the local field and use it to rebuild his walls. B'yodua, because it's known Shekol Agapeh L'Bayis Sada. Because it's known that the offer, the dirt, probably dispersed. How did it, you know, the wall come apart? Because, you know, the wind or whatever blew it apart, and the dirt is lying somewhere in the field. So this allows him to reach out and take some of the offer to fill his Amas Hamayim. Ask the Gemara. Mask of a pup of a lemele. Why can't Reuven tell him, look, why are you coming to me for soil to reinforce your Amas Hamayim? Maya Chashpilua, the water, your water that ran through your canal, you know, that washed away and collapsed your structure. Maya Shpilua La Reich, washed away your, don't come to me for replacement sand. You're right, technically he doesn't really have a claim against the Balasada, but the assumption is that when they made this arrangement, it's assumed that the Balasada agreed to this from the first in the first place, that if anything happens, the canal fellow will draw from the local Sada to fix up his Amas Hamayim. Interesting that the Rashbam points out that the Chiddush is, even though I already gave you an Am on each side, right? Still, if it collapsed and something happens, you can reach out even further and pick some of the Afar to use for reinforcement. So he says, oh, if that's the case, so why are we speaking about an Amma strip on each side? I mean, if the guy can just reach out and take anything. So he says, the point is that on that Amma, the owner of the, you know, the property owner cannot do anything on that Amma which will possibly weaken the structure. He can't build there, he can, right? He can plant and all that, but something which carries a risk of weakening the Amma Samayim structure, he can't do. But beyond that strip, right? Beyond that Amma of the Agapayim, beyond that, he can do what he wants. He can build and whatever, right? So that much advantage he has. However, as we said, if the Amma Samayim falls apart, the fellow can still reach out beyond to supply himself with replacement soil. Continues the Mishnah. Mishoy Sederach HaRab Maveres Lechsadeyu. Fellow has a, you know, property, and through the property there is a derech harabim, a street going through. How did it happen? Whatever. Either it's been this way since, you know, forever, or the balas sada, the property owner, sometime along the way, allowed them to walk through his property. Today he decided, okay, no more. Nutella, I'm going to block the street. And I'm going to reroute them to the side. And they gave him another route on the side. Does he have the right to make this exchange? No. The new road is theirs, but he can't retrieve his. Meaning, he has no right to block them from going through his field. Why? The Gemara will explain this. Now, when a person is commissioned to build a private road, how wide is it? Wide enough to allow for a carriage, which is four amos to go through. Derech hayachid dal damos. Derech harab, he's commissioned to build a public street. Sheish esri amo, the standard shear of Rishis Rabim, 16 amo. By the way, this is fully corresponding with the halacha and Shabbos, Mitzachas Shabbos, that a Rishis Rabim is meant to be 16 amo. And we learn this from the travels of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, as the Rashbam refers to the Gemara Shabbos of Tzadik Tes. Okay, that's, you know, four wagons lined up, and that's how you get to 16 amma. Derech HaMelech Ein Lo Shir. Okay, now we sort of go into a tangent that the royal way, if a king comes through town, he has a right to just Ein Lo Shir, there's no limit. He can just punch right through the fields and bring his whole entourage. There's no limit to the size, to the width of his derech. And the Rashbam brings the Sifri, that's to respect the king, and he can go wherever he wants. Derech HaKeva Ein Lo Shir, if a person, let's say, sold a Derech HaKeva to provide him access for the, you know, the funeral. So how wide is that? Ein Lo Shir, again, it's unlimited. And the Rashbam points out in this case, of course, they can't just, destroy and punch through buildings and whatever and destroy property. Rather, it means that the funeral procession is allowed to pass over even growing grain and whatever, and take a direct route to the Beis HaKvaris. Hamamad, if one purchased an area for a ma'amad, which is part of the funeral process where they get up and they do nicham avelim, how big is that area meant to be? Tayonei tzipayri amru, they said, Beis Arboa Kavan, the size called Arboa Kavan. Amay shalei lo yigyoi, ask the Gemara, this fellow closed up the road and gave them another road. Why can't he retake his own property? Why can't he block them from going through his property? I mean, he already gave them compensation, another route. They're not losing anything. Rashbam says, you know what it's like? Midas Toim. I mean, you don't lose anything, right? You, the people out there, you got another road. Why are you insisting on walking through my property? Linkoid Pazra Valesiv. Let him take his pitchfork and and block the road and just, you know, take matters into his own hands. I mean, he's going to lose another piece of property for no reason. Shamas Minot, do you mean to say, Loi Ovid Inish Dinat Nafshei, a person is not allowed to take matters in his own hands? I feel like I'm saying, even when he's about to lose? Amar Avzvid Mishrei the Rav, no. Here there's a special reason why he cannot make his own personal arrangements with the public. Gzeiro Shema Yitan Lander HaKalasim. I'm concerned that perhaps, you know, this fellow is an honest fellow, but the next guy down the road, he might actually give them a roundabout way, which is unfair. He might not make that fair switch. Therefore, the Chacham say you cannot unilaterally go ahead and reroute the crowd. Rav Mishar Shimshmei the Rav Amar, he has another pshat. If you're fair, fine. But this guy gave them a circuitous route, a roundabout way, so it's not a fair exchange and it's not legal. Third pshat, Rav Ashi Amar, Kol Ben Atzad, every time you reroute, inevitably it's going to be a roundabout way. You know why? Because somebody's going to have to walk more than before. Because inevitably it's going to be closer to the person living on this side of town and now requiring the other fellow on the other side of town to travel more. So in any case, you have no right. You have no rishus to be, Rashbam calls it, Eino rishus ligzolas harabim. You're basically robbing the rabbim. You're changing their route. You're rearranging their roads. You have no right to do that. And therefore we say that you cannot block them from going on that old road. So the question is, why can't he take back the new road that he gave them? Okay, we'll have to discuss that Bezer Hashem tomorrow. So in summation, we learned about the Aroin and the Kruvim. These were miraculous entities which were beyond the realms of space, and they were B'nei So Yoimdim. We learned about the Kruvim, how they represented the warm relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem. The halacha of accessing a boyer within somebody's house, accessing a gina, lifnim miginasa shechaveroi. We have a case where he got derech be'emtza, and the case of derech menatzad, which allows him more latitude. A person commissioned a beis amo, beis hashalachan, or amo hakiloin. What are the standard dimensions for those? And we learned about the dimensions of derech hayochid and derech harabim, and the story about this fellow who attempted an exchange, which wasn't really so successful. All the best to you, and atzlacha rabba.